This is Audible.
The following is a production of the Colonial Radio Theatre on the air.
Last time on Beacon Hill.
At least that is some good news this evening.
Yes. Albert found Robert and was shocked and stunned to the point where he ran for help, not knowing that Robert was not quite dead.
He will live.
Yes, he will.
'Twas on a moonlit night in the marshland of Kent. Lord Entwistle, Rothbottom, Bunderson, Smythe had challenged me to a duel with cutlasses.
How piratical.
A duel? Mr. Mallory!
Oh, he's just joking. Aren't you, Rogers? What were you thinking in there?
I told you I had to do lines from my play if you want me to sound like some rich guy.
A duel?
They loved it. If they were in a theater applauding, I would have done an extra curtain call.
I have since learned the circumstances behind the money that I thought you had pocketed for yourself. I am here to apologize for those thoughts.
There's no need, Mrs. Prescott. I would have acted the same way had I been in your position.
Be that as it may, I now want to know exactly what happened the night Robert was attacked.
I can't say, ma'am.
You can't say, or you will not say. My lord, I never saw a butler with so many hidden secrets.
And I never saw a family so interested in someone else's business.
It is true. I have inherited my father's millions. But I would give it all away if I could only have you in my arms.
What the hell?
That's what he said at the dinner the other night.
You, sir!
Patricia, I...
I am speaking to you on the stage there! You fake!
Me?
Yes, you! I've heard those lines before, at dinner. I demand to see you at once, you imposter!
Oh, my God. I'll see you after... Patricia, where were we? The balcony and the loons and the... Damn it!
You're my daughter, Lucille.
What?
What?
It's true.
My father is dead.
No.
Charles, it's Marietta!
What?
She's gone! She said she's going to marry that actor!
What?
Jerry Robbins, Shayna Dirick, James Tallack, and Cynthia Pape. Featuring Nolan Murphy, Natalie Vatcher, Emily Elizabeth. With Diane Capon, Barbara Dempsey-West, Rebecca Klein, Colin Budzina, Isaac Bean. Beacon Hill. Episode 9.
Bert.
Darling.
Where were you?
At the Schubert's office.
The who?
The Schubert's. They run one of the biggest theater chains in the country.
Oh. Why?
Trying to get on to another tour.
Another? But why? You're booked for 6 months with the chorus lady.
I know, and our itinerary is well published. It's only a matter of time before your parents find us. I'm surprised they haven't shown up already.
I don't want to hide from them forever.
Of course not. But if they show up here today, you can bet anything you'll be headed back to Beacon Hill and that museum you live in.
Bert.
Once we're married, they can't touch you. But until we do get married, it's a danger.
Let's get married this afternoon.
No.
Why not? My parents will indeed arrive eventually. The sooner we are married, the better, I say.
Not until I line something up. Eddie Foy has a new show headed out in a month. Gonna be playing the Midwest and West Coast. He's in town. I'm hoping to see him this afternoon.
Have you met him before?
No.
Why would he hire you if he doesn't know you?
He might know of me. I may not be a household name, but I'm known amongst players. If I can line up some Schubert time, we'll be all set.
What if you don't line it up?
Gotta think positive, baby.
I think practical. And please do not call me baby.
What do you want me to call you?
Marietta.
Too formal. Sounds like a character in a play.
I beg your pardon.
Don't get upset, baby. I mean, don't get upset. Hey, you gotta let your hair down.
Not in public, thank you.
Not figuratively. It's just a saying.
Oh.
Don't worry about anything. Things are going to be just fine as soon as we get out of Philadelphia.
All right, Bert.
Not having second thoughts, are you?
No, not at all. Good morning, Mrs. Prescott.
Good morning, Mrs. Hayes.
Good morning, Mrs. Prescott. How nice to see you.
Good morning, Mrs. Davis. Likewise. Mr. Curran, I remember a time when one could ride through these very streets without nosy neighbors shouting out at you like they were selling fish at Quincy Market.
Yes, ma'am.
Most upsetting. The entire population has become carnival barkers.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mrs. Prescott.
Is it, Williams?
Ma'am?
Where are they? The library or the study?
The library, ma'am.
Charles, Jocelyn.
Good morning, Mother.
How nice to see you.
Jocelyn, have you managed to crack that thick skull of his?
No. Would you like a go at it?
Of course. Williams, a brandy, if you would be so kind.
Ma'am?
Make that too, Williams.
Sir?
What the hell, all the way around, Williams?
Ma'am?
Must you swear like that, Jocelyn?
I agree with Charles, Jocelyn. It is most unbecoming.
When I am upset, I swear.
It's a terrible vice to have. Most unladylike.
Your brandy, ma'am.
Oh, thank you very much.
Drinking brandy at 10 in the morning is ladylike.
Damned right it is. I am a lady and I like it.
Ma'am?
Thank you, Williams.
Williams, that'll be all.
Yes, sir.
Cheers.
Don't toast the drinks. This is not a drink to be toasted. It's a drink to be upset over.
How so?
Jocelyn, no luck at all.
None. He won't budge.
Charles Prescott, I demand you go to North Station and take the next train to Philadelphia.
Why? I've seen the Liberty Bell.
Charles!
I have, dearest. Remember, when I was courting you, we passed it each and every night.
Oh, the Liberty Bell. You know what she is talking about.
I don't.
Oh, all right. If you must play games, I'll play along. Your daughter.
My daughter. She's upstairs, last I knew.
Not Aurora. Marietta.
Oh, Marietta. She stopped being my daughter when she ran off with an actor on a train.
She is still your daughter.
Not anymore, Mother.
She's mine.
If you like.
Charles, we have to get her back.
She has made her choice. We have gone over this 1,000 times. She is gone. She ran off with an actor, and that is that.
That is not that. We have a chance to talk to her, to make her understand that it's too soon, that she doesn't even know this man.
Oh, and you think a talk like that would do any good, do you? Are you that naive that you don't understand love is blind? We won't be able to talk any sense into her.
Charles, just because I could not talk any sense into you when you were about to marry does not mean you will not be able to talk any sense into Marietta. Everyone is different. Don't use what happened between us as the precedent.
Excuse me.
Nothing, my dear. It's water under the bridge.
Besides, that actor has probably had his way with her. No man of means in his right mind would have her now.
Well, how can you say such a thing?
It's true and you know it.
I don't know as it's true. She would wait till she was married.
Like our eldest son, Jocelyn, we have failed with both of them. It's time to face that fact and move on.
Move on? Move on to where? You talk about them like they're some failed business ventures.
No, I wouldn't put it that coldly.
Oh, I would.
Of course you would. You know nothing of running a business.
Oh, but I do know my children. I need to see for myself that she is all right. If she is happy, then we know. If she is not, I will bring her back. That play he is in will be in Philadelphia for one more week before it moves on. I will go.
You will not.
Are you ordering me? You are.
I urge caution. You two are going down a path that you are both going to regret taking.
I'm not sure it will be regretted. by both of us.
Oh, so you have some way of knowing if I shall regret my position or not?
No. As hard as it may be to believe, I was not thinking of you at all. I was wondering if I would regret going. I think not. My children are more important to me than anything in this world.
Including me?
Yes, Charles. Including you. You're older and wiser. Well, you're older anyway. We certainly know that. But as for wiser, the jury is still debating that one behind closed doors.
Are they now? I wondered what all that commotion was.
Oh, boy, how nice of you to take things so lightly.
You're saying stupid things. How the hell do you think I'm going to take it?
Charles, Charles, we went for years without a single quarrel, and yet all of a sudden, it seems like all we do is fight.
Since the Winthrop sailed into port last April, our son sent along the happy news. It's been all downhill since then. The actions of our two eldest, who you love so much, have brought about the fighting that now exists between us. They are older. They are not children. They are adults, and they have failed us. Or we have failed them, or a combination of both. I don't know which, and I don't suppose we ever will. The fact is, the actions of Andrew and Marietta are the reasons we fight today.
No, no, dearest. The reason we fight today is because you are an unforgiving, stubborn man. Mother Prescott, did Charles ever do anything that made you... Oh, wait, never mind.
Yes, Jocelyn. However, as you well know, the marriage went on as planned. I relented.
You had no choice.
I most certainly did. I could have stayed home and demanded of your father that you be removed from the will, which, I might add, is what you appear to be doing to Marietta. And who knows how you will act when your married son and that English tart he has married arrive for a visit one day. But do not clump me with your actions. I relented, the wedding went on as planned, and now I have 4 beautiful grandchildren and an English brat child to be thrown into the mix. I will welcome that baby with open arms when we meet, because she can't help it if her mother is English. But that is more than you are doing. You are disowning your own daughter. I just don't understand how you can possibly do that.
You can't?
No. In all honesty, I can't.
Then stay and watch. I'll show you how it's done. Now, if you'll both excuse me, the air in this room is getting a little thick.
Whatever happened to the man I knew?
He married a girl from Philadelphia.
Mother Prescott.
Jocelyn, you have a much bigger problem on your hands than I thought. I know Charles. He won't budge. He has somehow developed this theory in that head of his that his children have somehow betrayed him. And it's a stupid, stupid thought to have. Benedict Arnold, now there was a traitor. Went and sold plans to West Point to the Redcoats because he didn't get the promotion he wanted or something along those lines. So he sold out. Turned traitor. That is someone you write off and erase the memory of. Not 2 children who fell in love. Well, Andrew didn't fall in love. He had his way with a tart, and now we have... Never mind. You get what I'm trying to tell you.
Yes, I do. Lucille.
Miss Logan, I'm almost finished.
Very good.
It's so much better now that you have someone helping me clean the hearths. We get it done in half the time.
I'm glad to hear it. I hope you understand, Lucille, that in spite of recent developments regarding Mr. Williams being cleared of attacking Master Robert, that you are still on very thin ice with me.
What do you mean, Miss Logan?
The fact remains, you were discovered in the linen closet, alone, with Robert.
I wasn't. I mean, I was resting. He just opened the door to get new linen.
I want the friendliness between the two of you to cease at once. I know you drank wine with him, like a lowlife.
The Prescotts drink wine.
Not skulking about in the stables or the alley behind the kitchen.
I work with him, but can't be friends with him.
You can acknowledge his existence, nothing more.
Miss Logan, this isn't fair.
Need I remind you that you are under my supervision, and what I say becomes law to you. You are to stay away from Robert as much as possible, and entirely when you are off hours. I also want you to avoid Mr. Williams unless spoken to. I know he was acquitted, but nevertheless he did show jealousy towards you that remains unnatural to me.
You don't understand, Miss Logan.
Oh, don't I? You have a better understanding of the facts you would have me believe?
Yes.
I hardly think so. Please understand, your opinion does not matter. The fact remains that I've given you an order, and it is to be paid. Do I make myself clear, or shall we go over it all again?
It's clear, Miss Logan. Are you going to warn Robert and Mr. Williams as well?
Robert is under Mr. Williams' supervision. It is his worry, not mine. However, with you in check and in perfect understanding with my rules, I should have nothing to worry about. Isn't that correct?
Yes, Miss Logan.
Carry on.
Father actually said that?
Yes.
He said Marietta was not his daughter?
Yes, that's what I just told you.
Why? Why would he say that? I understand he's angry, but to say something like that?
He said that he and Mother failed Marietta and Andrew, and that they need to move on.
Failed? Because they fell in love?
Without Father's consent. Or knowledge, for that matter.
Oh, who needs to move on? Marietta and Andrew, or Father and Mother?
Father and Mother was the implication.
Just write them out of their lives.
They won't write Andrew off. He's married.
So when Marietta gets married, they will forgive her too?
I don't think so. Andrew married English nobility. Marietta is marrying an actor.
What can we do?
I don't know as there is anything we can do.
We can warn Marietta. She should know what will happen if she marries Bert.
It already has happened. As soon as she stepped foot onto that train, Father closed his mind to her at that very moment.
That's what he's saying, but I just can't believe it. Can Grandmama help?
She cautioned them, but I didn't hear a response from Father. I couldn't wait outside the door any longer. It sounded as if Father could come bursting through at any moment.
He wasn't that good.
What? Who?
Bert Colton. In The Chorus Lady, he wasn't that good an actor.
Are you a good judge of acting?
No, I wouldn't say that. But I know bad acting when I see it. Hell, I could do a better job than he did.
Oh, could you?
I bet I could. Here, give me that bed comforter.
Barton, what are you doing?
I need a cape.
What? Why?
So I can show you how much of a better actor I am than Bert Colton. The lights dim. The stage grows dark. Nothing but the garish glow of the flickering footlights illuminate the stage. Then I, Barton Prescott, actor, slowly step into the light from the darkness of the black of the stage, wearing a black velvet tunic and carrying a human skull in my hand.
And a bed comforter draped around your shoulders.
Laugh, oh ye critics, laugh. Ha! I shall humble thee with my thespianic skill. I step to the edge of the stage, defying the audience. I am eye to eye. A spotlight beams down from the balcony. And I speak into the darkness. To be or not to be. That is the question. A pestilence on him for a mad rogue. A pour at a flagon of Rhenish on my head once. This same skull, sir, was, sir, Yorick's skull. This king's gesture. This! Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio, a fellow of infinite jest. Of most excellent fancy. He hath bore me on his back, damn, I know this. 1,000 times. And now how abhorred in my imagination it is. My gorge rises at it. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them. To die. To sleep. No more. To die. To sleep, perchance to dream, and Fini.
Bravo, bravo!
Thank you, thank you. I love you all, thank you.
Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Augusta Prescott will be staying for luncheon. She's requested a light salad, if you could.
Yes, Mr. Williams. I'll send Robert out to the stables with something for her driver as well.
I will need Robert on the main floor.
I know that. I meant after. We do it all the time.
It's not as if it's some great revelation.
Mind your tone, Mrs. Jennings.
Still have a sore spot in your heart for me, don't you? Ever since that time I took a few days off.
What's done is done. See to lunch. Where is Robert, by the way?
I haven't seen him. He's not outside.
Well, what have we here?
Mr. Williams.
Robert, what are you doing out here?
Nothing. I just needed some air.
Why are your hands behind your back?
I have a back pain.
Let me see your hands.
All right.
Both of them?
Yes, sir.
Both of them at the same time, Robert?
Yes, sir.
Bottle of claret. Drinking. From the bottle. How barbaric. One should use a proper glass.
I'm sorry, Mr. Williams.
Not at all. Nothing to be sorry about. I take it you stole the bottle?
No, sir, Mr. Williams. I did not. I bought it in town, yesterday on my day off.
Very well. I shall take your word for it. This time, anyway. I'm not up for an inventory of the wines to prove it. But in the future, you will drink in your quarters on your own time, not outside the kitchen door on the master's.
Yes, Mr. Williams.
What year? What year is the claret?
Oh. Last year. 1897.
Ah, well, you're right. It most certainly did not come from the Prescott's wine cellar.
Well, how did everyone's morning go? As good as all that. Not terribly exciting, it seems.
How can you make jokes?
It was not a joke.
That's the first correct thing you've said all day.
May I say something?
Of course.
About Marietta.
Yes?
I'm not saying what she did was right. But we all make mistakes, and I think we should, or some of us, should try and see her to make sure she's all right.
Your concern is noted. Williams, you may serve the main course.
Sir. Robert?
Charles, dear,
the only problem with having a light salad for a main course is that it makes the first course far superior and the main course somewhat anticlimactic. How can a light salad compete with a fillet of brill?
Then send the salad back and have the same thing we are.
Grilled mutton chops? Never. I would have indigestion for days.
I already have indigestion, Mrs. Prescott, and it has nothing to do with the mutton chops. No, it has to do with stubborn opinion.
And I believe it has to do with young adults being responsible for their actions.
It is very unfortunate when a grievous error is being committed.
Mother.
I'm sorry. I came in hopes of talking sense into you. I sat at this table hoping that you might see what you are doing. But it was all a waste of time. Williams, have my carriage brought round.
Yes, ma'am. Robert?
Now, don't leave in a huff.
I am not leaving in a huff, as you call it. I'm simply leaving.
Please stay.
This house has many secrets, many ghosts, many regrets. Many, many regrets. They live in the walls. They fester there. They wait until you are old and sitting in a room that has remained unchanged all through the years, while you've grown white-haired and wrinkled and walk with a cane and take small steps. It's at that point that the regrets escape from the walls on the night wind. They creep up the stairs and along the floors until they find you sitting up in bed, unable to walk, or frail and hunched over in a chair. And they proceed to haunt you until your dying day. We all have regrets. I have mine, God knows. And you have yours. But none of yours will ever equal the regret you are creating at this very moment. Go to her. Go to her and make your peace. Before the memory of her leaves your brain and seeps into the walls of this house, where it will wait for you. Wait for the moment when you least expect it, when regrets will knock you down as heavy as God's anvil. And when that anvil strikes, it will be too late. Good day, Jocelyn. Children?
Grandmama?
Well, she certainly knows how to cheer up a luncheon, doesn't she?
You're still up?
Of course I'm still up. Where have you been?
I had a performance.
You're always home by 11:30 after a show. It's 2 in the morning.
So? It's 2 in the morning. God, baby, you're acting like we're married.
We will be soon, and I want to know why you're coming home at 2 in the morning.
All right. I heard you. 2 in the morning. Christ, I just went out for drinks. Is that a crime? It was a 2-show day, and I went out for drinks.
Then why don't you smell like beer?
What?
You don't smell like beer, and your clothes don't smell like smoke. Where were you?
Let's not get excited. Just take a deep breath.
Where were you, Bert?
If you must know, I was at the producer's home.
What producer?
The producer of the chorus lady. He doesn't want me to leave the company and asked me to his home to discuss a better financial arrangement.
Really? Did you take it?
No.
What?
I told him we're moving on. I'm holding out for a part in the new Foy show. I feel good about it.
You turned him down? He offered you more money and you turned him down because you might get into another show?
What do you mean, might? I always get what I go out for.
Like me?
That wasn't fair.
I'm sorry, Bert. It's just, this is the third time you've been late. This apartment is so small, and I'm lonely.
It's just for a few more days. That's all. A few more days, and we'll be on a train headed south.
I thought you said west.
I did. The route changed. Look, just leave all the business stuff to me, okay?
Does show business always discuss its business at midnight?
Sure. Sure, that's pretty common. Especially for someone like me, a name without an agent.
What does that mean, a name without an agent?
Representation.
A lawyer?
No, an agent. Just as nasty as a lawyer, but they don't make as much money.
What do you mean by name?
Name. That's me, baby. A name in show business is someone who the public knows. Famous. I get my name in the posters.
Oh.
And a name without representation means I don't have an agent.
Why don't you?
Because I don't trust the dirty bastards. I do my own deals. Cut out the middleman. Where's that bottle of scotch?
Where you left it. On the nightstand.
Right.
Is that common?
What, baby?
That a name doesn't have an agent?
Not all that common. Foy doesn't have one, and he's the biggest star there is right now. So we cut out the middleman and save 10%. It's all clear profit. And you've been drinking my scotch.
Just a little.
Hey, this stuff's expensive, and, well, it's a waste if you don't like it. You know what I mean?
Bert, I am in this apartment every day and every night. We have been out once since we got here. Just once! I barely have enough money to buy food, and that is surprising considering you're a name.
Yeah, well, I got overhead.
What kind of overhead?
Overhead. Showbiz stuff, you wouldn't understand.
Would gambling be a part of that overhead?
Baby, please, come on. I work hard. 8 shows a week, twice on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and a Sunday matinee that keeps me from church like I told you. You ain't gonna begrudge me a little game of poker now and then, are ya?
I think it's more now than then. Bert, don't you understand? I don't have enough money to buy food.
Well, the rent took up most of it, not the poker game. Can't your father send something? He's got a couple of bucks. I seen his house.
My father is not even speaking to me after I left with you.
You didn't tell me that.
Why would I? It's my problem, not yours.
He ain't gonna send you any money? At all?
No, not a dime.
I thought, you know, we'd be set. When the going got rough, I mean...
Set? You thought he would send us money?
Baby, I read in the paper somewhere that your dad is worth around 450 million buckos. Giving us a few to get by on wouldn't be a drop in the bucket to a guy like him.
We will not be seeing anything from him. That upsets you?
Huh? No. No, not at all. Not at all, baby. A little surprised. I mean, I hope he doesn't write you out of his life altogether. I mean, it's all about love, right? You gotta make sure he still loves you. It's not about the money.
I see. I made dinner. It's not much, but it was the best I could do. I've been keeping it warm for you.
Tomorrow, baby. Right now I gotta hit the hay. Tomorrow, I'll have it for lunch.
Aurora, that rope is starting to fray at the top.
If I fall, I fall. Besides, I don't swing fast. Hardly at all, actually.
Why the gloomy faces?
Hello, Albert.
I didn't see you come up the drive.
Came in the back way, through the trees.
How daring of you.
Huh?
Albert O'Brien, wilderness traveler.
What do you mean? I've cut through there 1,000 times. It's a shorter distance from Louisburg Square. I just don't go that way when it rains because I'll get my clothes dirty.
I was just being funny.
Oh. Aurora, the rope is fraying.
I know.
Has there been any word from Marietta?
Nothing yet.
The show has been in Philadelphia a long time, held over, but I read in the Times that it moves out in another week.
A week?
And she'll be even farther away.
Your father still won't go and see her?
No.
Why don't we go?
Because if we did, Father would skin us alive and mount your head on a plaque in the library.
He would not. Would he?
Your gown is laid out for dinner, Mum.
Look at them out there.
Who, Mrs. Prescott?
Aurora, Barton, and Albert, at the swing. I can still see Aurora on that swing at 5 years old. The years certainly do pass quickly.
Indeed they do, Mum.
Marietta would swing all day long. A slow, dreamy kind of swing.
Jocelyn, a word.
Thank you, Logan.
Mum?
Well?
I don't like this edge between us. We've never had one before.
We've never had a daughter living in Philadelphia with an actor before.
There's nothing we can do.
We need to know she is all right.
She made her choice.
So did Andrew, for God's sake. Why are you not writing him out of your life?
He got married.
Because his English girlfriend was going to have his baby. He had to. And yet you brush that under the carpet like it was nothing at all, and the world goes around without question or worry. Why can't you do the same for Marietta?
She defied me! She's my eldest daughter, and she ran off with some man who lies, and she brought a shadow to this house and my name.
And Andrew has not?
Andrew is a man.
Oh, so that's it. His ways can be forgiven. Your daughters cannot.
She betrayed me.
She's your daughter.
She betrayed me!
If you insist on that path, then Andrew did as well.
The daughter of an English lord betrayed her parents. She brought a bastard into the world. If Andrew had not done the right thing, the baby would have remained a bastard. He saved her. Marietta is with a grease-paint-covered actor, incapable of saving anything. She is lost to us. She's defied us. She is gone. And I ask you to respect my position.
I don't understand you.
I'm not controlling my feelings in this matter, Jocelyn. They are controlling me.
How about we send her the money to come home?
Albert.
What?
First of all, we don't have the money.
You're the richest kids in Boston.
I'm not rich. Not now, anyway.
And what if she doesn't want to come home?
Do you really think she's in love with that guy? I mean, she only knew him for a few days.
Sometimes you just know.
I suppose. But I will say that I gave her credit for having more brains.
That's not a nice thing to say.
It's true.
I know it is, but that doesn't mean it's a nice thing to say.
She made her own choice. So all we can do is hope that it was the right one and that she is very happy.
Well, of course we'll think that.
Yes.
But what if it's not true?
Oh, Albert.
Like you and Kevin Hull.
What did you say?
It's no secret.
What is no secret?
That you don't like him. But he goes around town acting like you're practically engaged.
What makes you think I don't like him?
It's on your face every time his name is mentioned. Like now.
What?
If you were in love with him, you would be floating on air. Instead, your face gets all hard and stern.
Yeah, that's love, all right.
You too.
He's stuck up. You should just break up with him.
How dare you both talk to me like this? This is private. It's between Kevin and me.
There's nothing between you and Kevin.
How can you say that?
Because it's true.
So am I the laughingstock of Boston? Do people look at me and think that Kevin is in love with me and that I'm not in love with him?
I wouldn't say laughingstock.
No, that's too harsh. But people think you're leading him on for a fall.
What?
Sit down, please, Lucille.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to speak with you alone for a moment, because I've observed some tension between yourself and Miss Logan.
There's none.
She tends to the smooth running of the maids and scullery maids. Sometimes her orders may seem harsh, but all is for the benefit of the house.
There is no problem between us.
Nevertheless, I have seen tension in the air. You haven't...
I haven't told her you're my father, if that's what is worrying you.
I would hope not. And it wasn't worrying me. I trust you to keep quiet on the matter.
The matter? You don't need to worry, Mr. Williams. All my life I thought my father was dead. He still is to me. As my father, you are quite dead.
Some things we cannot escape from nor change. Family is one of them. As they say, you can choose your friends, not your family.
It's no matter, since I do not accept it in the first place.
Accept it or not, it is fact. I would like to try and make good.
Make good? On what?
The years that I lost.
You didn't lose them. You gave them away.
And it was a mistake.
Which will be your burden to live with, not mine.
Very well. Trust put aside, I will demand your silence with this issue.
You're afraid I'll tell Mr. Prescott? That would be bad for you, wouldn't it?
Indeed.
If he hears of it, it will not be from my lips. I need this job, even if it means seeing you every day and being reminded of what you have done to me.
You will not be able to ignore me, Lucille.
I look at you, that I will see right through you, as if you were a ghost, because that's what my father is to me, a ghost. He has been a ghost for many, many years. I think it will be best for me if he remains in the grave.
As you wish.
Will that be all, Mr. Williams?
Yes. Get out. But the ghost shall not remain in the grave, dear Lucille.
Lucille, I need you to peel them potatoes.
Yes, Mrs. Jennings.
Lucille.
Robert.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Come to my room later tonight. I have a bottle of claret.
Your room? Master Robert, I will not.
Why not? It's just a drink, one little drink.
Miss Logan would hang me out to dry if she knew I was in your room. And Mr. Williams would dismiss you in a moment if he knew you had a bottle.
He already saw it. He told me to drink it in my room, not outside the kitchen door.
So you will keep quiet.
What?
Only you and me know that you know who is my father.
So?
He wants it kept secret. That's why he is allowing you to drink. You're being bought.
Lucille?
I have to go. You're being bought, Robert.
So? I can be bought?
Mrs. Prescott to see you, madam.
Mrs. Prescott? Here. Show her in, Hendricks.
Madam. Mrs. Prescott.
Jocelyn, what a surprise to see you in my home.
May we speak?
Of course, dear. Hendricks, the door, if you please, with you on the other side of it. Please, have a seat.
Thank you. It's a lovely morning, don't you think?
Oh, yes, I do. However, I don't think you rode over here to discuss the weather.
Of course I didn't.
Well?
I need your help with Charles.
My help? Whatever for?
Marietta. He has completely disowned her.
I spoke to him in as strong a language as I could without holding a knife to his throat. You were there. You heard me.
I did.
Let me tell you, Jocelyn, when the regrets in the wall and creeping up the stairs speech doesn't work, nothing will.
Speech?
Oh, yes. I used it on him when he was 4 and refused to go to bed. I told him the sleep monsters were hiding in the walls and under the bed, and if he stayed awake and refused to go to bed, they would whisk him away to the land of the shadows, never to be seen again. The regret speech is the same, only modified. Thank God he has no recollection of the older version.
Oh, that's cruel.
No, darling, that's parenting.
Do you think I should go to Philadelphia?
You can if you like. But Charles has already made his position quite clear. And if you go, you will be crossing him. And once crossed, you will need heavy, heavy armor, no matter who you are.
Oh, you mean he would disown me as well?
I did not say that. I said you would need heavy armor. Whoever wins the battle will determine who has the strongest armor.
We're a family, for God's sake. We're not an army on the battlefield.
Oh, yes, we are.
My family is falling apart because of an actor.
No, your family is falling apart because your daughter ran off with an actor. Actors are only alive when they are on stage giving performances. The rest of the time, they are sinful, lost souls who have no sense of reality and no training in the social graces.
Mrs. Prescott, you make it sound simply horrible.
That's because it is. She is most likely deflowered by now.
Oh, no. Do you think so?
Of course I do. She was probably deflowered before the train left South Station.
I came here looking for advice.
You are asking me questions, and I am answering to the best of my ability. I am sorry if you do not like my replies, Jocelyn, but they are the best I can give you under the circumstances. The Morgensteins.
Who?
The Morgensteins. The Philadelphia Morgensteins. He's into steel, as I recall. I had luncheon with Mrs. Morgenstein at the Bellevue Hotel, and we hit it off quite nicely. She dislikes almost everything as I do, so we instantly had a lot in common.
You lived in Philadelphia many years. You must have dined at the Bellevue.
Many times.
You knew the Morgensteins?
I knew of them.
My point is, I can contact Mrs. Morgenstein and have one of her staff check in on the play. And we can locate where Marietta is staying.
Oh, we can do no such thing. What will the Morgensteins think of us? Why, it would be the talk of every social circle in Philadelphia.
What do we care? We live in Boston.
No, Mrs. Prescott, it's too risky, and it would be only a matter of time before Mr. Hull got wind of it, the way his trains crisscross the entire country like flies.
Yes, the Hulls do have big ears.
And Mrs. Hull has a big mouth. Pardon my vulgar tongue.
Hire a detective.
What?
A private detective. He can at least bring you news.
Oh, I don't know. Private detectives. It all seems so sinister. No, I'll go myself.
Charles will not change his mind.
I can see her if I want. He can't prevent me from seeing her. If he chooses not to, then he will have to live with that. But I am not going to. I want to see her, and see her I shall.
And what if she's miserable?
And I shall take her home.
And you will have to face Charles.
No. You have it the wrong way round, Mrs. Prescott. Charles will have to face me.
Where have you been? You're late.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Jennings.
Look at you. You're as white as a ghost.
Am I?
You're not feeling well?
I'm not feeling well at all.
What's this?
Nothing, Miss Logan, nothing at all.
Lucille, why are the breakfast poles not out and ready for Mrs. Jennings? Breakfast is served in 30 minutes.
Breakfast?
Yes.
Bacon? Excuse me.
Lucille? What's wrong with Lucille?
She appears to be ill.
Oh, I'm not feeling ship-shape and Bristol fashion myself.
You do look a little peaked.
It's this late summer weather. A touch of fall is in the air. I always look peaked.
Perhaps with a bottle of wine to help you along?
Miss Logan?
Do you really think I don't know you had a bottle of wine?
I did? Huh?
Where did you imbibe that devil's broth?
Where?
If you had Lucille in your quarters, you shall be dismissed at once. Ladies are not allowed in the gentleman's wing.
It was just a little wine. And no, we were outside.
Where I told you not to drink.
Oh, Mr. Williams.
It appears that Robert has been drinking with Lucille.
I didn't say she was drinking with me.
No, she just looks like she crawled out from the grave. The very mention of food made her sick. It's my experience that this was brought on by the consumption of alcohol.
You've had experience with that, have you?
Mrs. Jennings, if you don't mind. Robert, was she in your room drinking with you? I demand an answer.
Return to your duties, Robert.
Mr. Williams.
Now, Robert.
Yes, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Williams.
Miss Logan, the matter is settled.
I am sorry, Mr. Williams, but the matter is most certainly not settled.
Would you care to repeat that, Miss Logan? I don't think I heard you correctly.
I said, the matter is most certainly not settled. I have every reason to suspect that Lucille was in the gentleman's quarters last evening, Robert's quarters to be specific, drinking.
What proof have you?
Their appearance.
Oh, that's proof, is it?
In my book, yes.
Well, we read from different books, Miss Logan. For all I know, they could have eaten the tainted mutton that Mrs. Jennings failed to return to the icebox last evening.
Am I to understand? You are turning your back on this?
I am not turning my back. I have settled the issue.
May I have a word with you, Mr. Williams?
You are having a word with me, Miss Logan.
In private?
Very well. I shall give you 3 minutes. Have your word.
I am not a fool, Mr. Williams. I know what is going on here.
And what is that, Miss Logan?
You are being blackmailed.
Blackmailed? Miss Logan, how could Robert possibly blackmail me?
That remains to be seen, but the way you just settled the issue was not the Mr. Williams I know.
Are you insinuating that Robert is holding something over my head?
Robert or Lucille?
If it wasn't for the seriousness of what you were saying, I would take them as highly laughable. You forget yourself, madam. If you continue down this path of suspicion and insinuation, I shall have you discharged. Do you hear me? Discharged!
How dare you speak to me in that tone?
How dare you accuse me of some devious undercurrent that you can't even prove or describe?
You want a description, Mr. Williams? I shall give you one. I think that you pulled Robert away from Lucille
because... Tread lightly, Miss Logan. Dare I discharge you here and now?
The missus would never allow me to be discharged.
Shall we put it to the test? Now? That would be Mrs. Prescott's sitting room, Miss Logan. You are being summoned. Miss Logan, what will I do with you?
Come in.
You sent for me, Mum?
Yes. I am going to take a little trip, Logan, and you are coming with me.
A trip, Mum?
We shall be gone for 4 days. Please see that my trunks are brought to my room for packing. You shall leave before Mr. Prescott returns from the office.
Very good, Mum. Might I ask where we're going?
To Philadelphia. Tell no one downstairs. I shall tell the children and leave a note for Charles, but I don't want the staff chitter-chattering about it.
Of course, Mum.
Train leaves at 2. We haven't much time. Pack the trunks for me. You know how.
Mum.
Will he let you drive it?
Yes. And soon, he said. You can learn, too.
No, thank you. It's only a matter of time before it blows up.
It won't blow up.
Barton, get out of that car this minute!
I'm just sitting in it.
I don't care. It's dangerous.
I told him it could blow up.
I can't even start it. Father hid the crank.
Because he knew the temptation would get the better of you. Now listen, both of you. I am going to Philadelphia to see Marietta.
Mother,
can I go?
Please take me.
No, no, you must stay here with your father.
All the more reason for us to go. He's not going to like your going, Mother.
And I don't like sitting here not knowing what is happening. He will not go. I will go. And that's all there is to it. I will be back in 4 days. If you'll take my advice, you'll give your father plenty of breathing room.
We will.
You can be sure of that.
Oh, just remember that he loves you. He's just having a very difficult time accepting what has happened.
I'll have Albert over. He won't explode with company in the house.
Oh, yes, he will, dear. Aurora, it would be wise of you to not have Kevin Hull over for a visit. And if you go to his home, do not tell your father.
I understand.
Are you going to bring her back?
I just want to see her. I hope to find her doing well. I hope to find her and Bert very much in love. You will all feel better knowing that. At least I will.
Just a minute. Who is it?
It's Cobb, your landlord.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Cobbs. How are you?
A bit light in the pockets. That's how I am.
What do you mean?
I mean you owe a month.
A month what?
Rent.
Rent for what?
Listen to you. Are you one of an actress, too? One of them comedians on the stage?
No, of course not. What about rent?
You owe 1 month's rent.
So how does that concern me? Go out and get some.
Oh, you are the funny one.
I'm not being funny.
You owe me rent for this apartment you are staying in. You owe $18.
Oh. Oh, I understand now.
Good.
Bert paid you.
No, he didn't.
He rented this apartment from you, and he paid you.
He ain't paid me, and the show left town today.
What? No, the show closes tomorrow.
It closed last night and left town today.
That's impossible. I mean, Bert was going to leave the show and join up with another, but... No, this is wrong. You must be mistaken.
I ain't. You can go down to the theater and see for yourself after I get my $18.
I haven't got $18. Bert told me he took care of it.
Lady, if you don't have it, I'll have to get the police.
The police? No, no, you can't do that. Please, give me till tomorrow. Bert will be back in just a while. I'll get it all straightened out.
And what do you take me for?
I don't take you for anything. I'm just trying to make good, that's all.
If your husband doesn't...
He's not my husband.
What? He's not in your living together?
It's not as it seems.
It ain't none of my business. If you want to live in sin and run the risk of burning in everlasting hell, well, that's all fine and dandy with me. I just want my rent. Looks like I'll need to call the police in for...
No! Listen to me. Bert was in that show, but he was planning on leaving it and taking up with another tour. I'm sure that's what he's done.
Then why didn't he give me the money he owes?
I don't know. How would I know? Something must have happened. But I know he'll be back. Please, just a little more time.
If you can't pay me my rent money, then I need to get someone in here who can.
There he is now.
Then why is he knocking? Ain't you gonna answer it?
Yes?
Who are you?
I beg your pardon?
I asked, who are you?
My name is Marietta Prescott. And you are?
My name is Edna Colton, and this is my daughter, Judith.
Colton?
Yes. I'm looking for Bert.
For Bert?
The theater told me that this was the address he was last listed at. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is he here?
No.
Why are you here?
I'll be back in the morning.
What?
The morning. 1 month's rent.
Yes, of course.
May I come in?
Yes, please. I must say, I'm a little confused. Bert didn't tell me he had a sister.
He doesn't.
Who are you?
I am Mrs. Colton, Bert's wife, and this is his daughter.
His wife?
Yes. I always seem to be too late. I missed him in Hartford, then New London, then Boston. I always seem to be a day behind. I can't afford the train. Every town I take a job, cleaning houses, to raise enough money to get to the next city his show is at. One of these days I'll catch up. You look shocked.
I didn't know he was married, Mrs. Colton.
I understand. You're not the first one, my dear.
You've been listening to Beacon Hill, starring Jerry Robbins as Charles Prescott, Shayna Dirick as Jocelyn Prescott, James Tallack as Williams, Cynthia Pape as Augusta, Nolan Murphy as Barton, Natalie Vatcher as Aurora, Emily Elizabeth as Marietta, Diane Capon as Miss Logan, Barbara Dempsey West as Mrs. Jennings, Rebecca Klein as Lucille, and Isaac Bean as Robert. Featured were Tom Berry as Bert, Fred Robbins as Mr. Cobbs, and Kate Mahoney as Mrs. Colton. Tonight's programme was written and directed by Jerry Robbins and produced by MJ Cogburn. Executive producer was Mark Vanderberg, with music by Austin Davey and orchestrations by Jeffrey Gage. For the Colonial Radio Theatre on the Air, this is David Ault speaking.
Last time on Beacon Hill.
It's only a matter of time before your parents find us. I'm surprised they haven't shown up already.
I don't want to hide from them forever.
Of course not. But if they show up here today, you can bet anything you'll be headed back to Beacon Hill and that museum you live in.
Let's get married this afternoon.
No.
Why not?
Not until I line something up. Eddie Foy has a new show headed out in a month. Gonna be playing the Midwest and West Coast. He's in town. I'm hoping to see him this afternoon.
Charles Prescott, I demand you go to North Station and take the next train to Philadelphia.
Why? I've seen the Liberty Bell.
Charles!
I have, dearest. Remember, when I was courting you, we passed it each and every night.
Oh, the Liberty Bell. You know what she is talking about.
I don't.
Oh, all right. If you must play games, I'll play along. Your daughter.
My daughter. She's upstairs, last I knew.
Not Aurora. Marietta.
Oh, Marietta. She stopped being my daughter when she ran off with an actor on a train.
She is still your daughter.
Not anymore, Mother.
I hope you understand, Lucille, that in spite of recent developments regarding Mr. Williams being cleared of attacking Master Robert, that you are still on very thin ice with me.
What do you mean, Miss Logan?
The fact remains, you were discovered in the linen closet, alone, with Robert.
I wasn't. I was resting. He just opened the door to get new linen.
I want the friendliness between the two of you to cease at once.
Bottle of claret. Drinking. From the bottle. How barbaric. One should use a proper glass.
I'm sorry, Mr. Williams.
Not at all. Nothing to be sorry about. I take it you stole the bottle?
No, sir, Mr. Williams. I did not. I bought it in town yesterday on my day off.
Very well. I shall take your word for it. This time, Anyway, I'm not up for an inventory of the wines to prove it. But in the future, you will drink in your quarters on your own time, not outside the kitchen door on the master's.
Yes, Mr. Williams.
You sent for me, Mum?
Yes. I am going to take a little trip, Logan, and you are coming with me.
A trip, Mum?
We shall be gone for 4 days. Please see that my trunks are brought to my room for packing. We shall leave before Mr. Prescott returns from the office.
Very good, Mum. Might I ask where we're going?
To Philadelphia. Tell no one downstairs. I shall tell the children and leave a note for Charles, but I don't want the staff chitter-chattering about it.
Of course, Mum.
Train leaves at 2. We haven't much time. Pack the trunks for me, you know how.
Who are you?
I am Mrs. Colton, Bert's wife, and this is his daughter.
His wife? I didn't know he was married, Mrs. Colton.
I understand. You're not the first one, my dear.
Jerry Robbins, Shayna Dirick, James Talek, and Cynthia Pape. Featuring Nolan Murphy, Natalie Vatcher, Emily Elizabeth. With Diane Capon, Barbara Dempsey West, Rebecca Klein, Colin Budzina, Isaac Bean. Beacon Hill. Episode 10.
Oh, Mr. Cobbs.
You have the rent?
Won't you come in, please?
The rent.
Bert hasn't returned.
Since yesterday? And I was right. He is not coming. The show left town and he left you here. I'm sorry for your troubles, miss, but I'm afraid I have to collect what's due me.
Can't we work out some kind of arrangement?
What? I'm a happily married man, I'll have you know.
Mr. Cobbs!
Of course. I've been known to have a little indiscretion here and there, as they say.
I was not implying anything of the kind.
Well, then what was you talking about?
Let me find some work. I'll get a job. I'll pay you.
And then you owes me for 2 months. I wasn't born last week, missy.
I just don't have the $18.
Well, then I'm sorry. I've been a very patient man. I even gave you an extra night. But now I have no choice.
Mr. Cobbs, no.
I have to go for the police. Now, I have a man watching from the pub across the way, so don't you try to sneak out or he'll follow you and we'll get you.
No, not the police, please.
Do you good to sit in jail for a month or two. Might make you reconsider your actions, living in sin the way you did. That's a straight ticket to hell, little lady.
So are your indiscretions, Mr. Cobbs. I imagine I will see you down there.
I'll be back.
Would you like some more coffee, sir?
Yes. Toss in some whiskey as well.
Very good, sir.
Whiskey?
Is
there anything interesting in the paper?
Yes. Yes. Big fire in Weymouth, Mass., September 29. The factory buildings of the Bradley Fertilizer Works in North Weymouth were burned shortly before 11 o'clock last night, causing loss of about $200,000 to the building and stock. The loss is practically covered by insurance. The plant was chiefly under one roof and covered much ground, so that when the fire broke out, it spread to all parts, making it impossible to save anything. The cause of the fire is believed to be spontaneous combustion, as the watchman patrolled the building only a few minutes before the fire was discovered. Oh, that's too bad.
It sounds horrible.
I bet the watchman started it.
Yes, that was my first thought as well.
Your coffee, sir.
Thank you, Williams.
The weather is lovely today.
Is it?
I thought I might visit Kevin this afternoon.
Why don't you invite him over here?
May I?
Yes. I'd rather have him here listening to me than you there listening to Gilbert Hull.
You won't lecture him, will you?
No, no. In fact, I won't even be here. I'm going to the office today.
May I go with you?
Barton, you'd be bored to tears.
I could take a ride on the Bradley out to the island. I could visit Mark Jenkins.
Do you think Mark Jenkins would want to visit with you after what you did to him?
I never got to tell him how sorry I was. It's been bothering me. A lot.
Good. It should bother you. That's a sign that you're not bad at heart. If you were, it wouldn't bother you at all.
That's good to know, I suppose.
Besides, he's no longer on Pauper's Island.
He isn't?
Is he all right?
He's fine. Your grandmother made a very generous donation to help his father get back.